With a look at Montana news, I'm Steve Jess. Montanans' property can still be seized if police suspect it's connected to criminal activity, but now it has to be returned if they can't get a conviction. That has not always been the case. Montana's civil asset forfeiture law was reformed this week with the stroke of Governor Steve Bullock's pen. State Representative Kelly McCarthy of Billings sponsored the measure this past legislative session.
I think this is a big win for Montana. We're all one of only a handful of states that have property protections this strong now.
McCarthy cites two Montana cases in which people who were neither charged nor convicted of any crime were legally forced to forfeit tens of thousands of dollars in cash and property. Under the new law, that could only happen if criminal activity is proven.
Just prove that the person was really doing something wrong. Just like we expect the criminal justice system to treat the rest of us. You know, there is a presumption of innocence, and there is protections under the Fifth Amendment that we should not lose life, liberty, or property without due process. So this just adds the due process back into that. Prove that they've done something wrong, and then you can keep their stuff.
McCarthy, a Democrat, says his bill picked up the support of several conservative Republicans during the legislative session. A Montana judge has agreed to settle a sexual harassment complaint filed by his former court reporter and plans to resign on January 1st. But the state is asking another judge to rule that it doesn't have to pay any damages agreed to by District Judge George Huss. Huss and the former court reporter negotiated a settlement that says she's entitled to nearly $750,000 and that the state has to pay it. With no fanfare, Governor Steve Bullock late this afternoon signed Senate Bill 411, which calls for the closure of the Montana Developmental Center in Boulder. Some families of MDC clients had opposed the closure, as had Boulder community leaders and the union representing the center's 250 staff. Bullock issued a statement about the signing, saying he still believes the state needs a state-run facility for the developmentally disabled, and nothing in the bill prevents that possibility. And he said his signature on the bill is not a condemnation of the community of Boulder or the workers at MDC. The bill calls for the facility to be completely phased out over 2 years as clients are placed in community-based group homes. Tribal leaders from across Montana gathered at the state capitol today as Governor Bullock signed two bills designed to preserve native languages. J. Dusty Bull from the Blackfeet tribe sang the family song of Senator Jonathan Windy Boy. As representatives of Montana tribes gathered to witness the governor sign Windy Boy's bill creating an Indian language immersion program for schools with at least 10% Indian enrollment. Windy Boy says his own Chippewa Cree tribe is an example of a people at risk of losing their language.
We have 7,000 enrolled members, 4,000 residents, and 162 fluent speakers. And if we didn't preserve and if we don't perpetuate what we have before us, we'll see the extinction of languages in our generation.
Bullock also put his name on Representative George Kipp's bill to continue the Montana Indian Language Preservation Program, which creates dictionaries, recordings, and teaching materials for the languages spoken by Montana's first residents. State lawmakers refused this year to pick up where federal stimulus programs will leave off in funding improvements to the state's internet, phone, and cable services. State lawmakers in March shut down the only proposal to encourage private companies to build up the state's telecommunications framework. Roughly 900,000 Montanans lack broadband internet access. Federal incentives for infrastructure upgrades dry up this summer. Libby Mayor Doug Roll says there are no big surprises in the Environmental Protection Agency's preferred asbestos cleanup proposal. The EPA released its draft plan on Tuesday. It calls for leaving some of the deadly material in places like walls or underground where it presents minimal risk of human exposure.
We would have preferred that they take it out of the homes. The issue there is, again, cost, I suppose.
Roll says one big problem remains, namely, who's responsible for cleaning up that undisturbed asbestos when it accidentally or intentionally becomes exposed.
In other words, EPA is washing their hands of it. They're saying we're not liable for it. So the onus was going to go on the property owner, and we, all of us, to an individual, said that, no, if you decide to leave it in place, then it's your baby. You're going to have to come up with some sort of funding to take care of them.
The EPA has spent over $500 million on the Libby asbestos cleanup. It's been over 15 years since it was revealed that asbestos from the local W.R. Grace vermiculite mine had sickened thousands and killed hundreds. A 60-day public comment period on EPA's preferred cleanup alternative starts on Friday. The governor has signed bills aimed at encouraging schools to develop American Indian language immersion programs and preserve Indian languages. Governor Steve Bullock says Montana is one of the few states addressing the preservation of native languages. One law will provide $45,000 over 2 years for the creation of programs in schools where Indians make up at least 10% of the students. Governor Steve Bullock this afternoon signed a bill to phase out the state's treatment center for the developmentally disabled. The move came over the objections of the Boulder community, home of the Montana Developmental Center, as well as unions that represent its 250 staff and family members of some of the center's 53 clients. The center has been investigated multiple times because of complaints of abuse by clients. Supporters of the facility say many of its current complaints are minor. MDC will be phased out over 2 years as its residents are placed into community-based group homes and a transition planning committee studies treatment options as well as new uses for the state-owned campus in Boulder. In 2014, Glacier National Park set an all-time visitation record, but with the record comes concern for growing traffic in the park. Corin Cates Carney has the story.
Park officials are looking for public comment on the Going to the Sun Road Corridor Management Plan, which started in 2013. Chief of Planning and Environmental Compliance Mary Riddle says officials have come up with some preliminary ideas.
Glacier is a special place to many, many people. And this is a really important issue for the park to work on, and so we wanted to release these preliminary alternatives first and get some early public comment.
There are five preliminary solutions. The alternatives include increasing parking, expanding the existing shuttle system, removing the shuttle system, and forecasting visitor attendance. The deadline for public comment is June 1st. In the Flathead, I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
In a state with some of the slowest broadband speeds in the nation, Montana lawmakers refused this year to pick up where federal stimulus programs are leaving off in funding improvements to the state's internet, phone, and cable services. Extending broadband to the roughly 900,000 Montanans that lack standard speeds was a fleeting talking point in the 2015 legislature. And it could become more evident since federal incentives to map the infrastructure dried up in January. In its most recent report, the FCC ranked Montana as having the least access to what Chairman Tom Wheeler now considers standard broadband speeds. Other national surveys consistently rank Montana among the bottom three states in terms of broadband speeds and access. That's a look at Montana News. I'm Steve Jess.